major tsunami has struck northeastern Japan, sending a 4-meter wall of water inland, which is currently causing widespread devastation. Now, the tsunami that is currently underway in the northeast of the country was caused by an 8.9 magnitude earthquake, and that struck 130 kilometers off the Pacific coast. Well, aftershocks have been felt within the last few minutes, and so far, 23 people are confirmed dead. But that number has been rising and is expected to rise. Now, there are also reports that the first wave has reached Russia.
Tsunami warnings have been issued across the Pacific, and we've already seen initial waves from the tsunami come ashore on Guam and other U.S. territories in Alaska and Hawaii, as well as on along the West Coast. Here in the United States, there hasn't been any major damage so far, but we're taking this very seriously, and we are monitoring the situation very closely. FEMA is fully activated and is coordinating with state and local officials to support these regions as necessary. Today's events remind us of just how fragile life can be. Our hearts go out to our friends in Japan and across the region, and we're going to stand with them as they recover and rebuild from this tragedy.
Wes, what is, before we start, Wes, what is that piece of junk you have in front of you? What is that?
Well, Mark, this is an Apple product. It was introduced a while ago, over
like
a year ago.
50 years ago or something? Is it grow on an apple tree?
No. What
is,
hey, I know you. You're a smartass.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm the world famous Mark Burnet.
And with his world-famous iPad 2.
Right.
That's
right. I have an iPad 2. And as I said on Facebook, and you don't.
Yeah. One of us here was able to procure the world an iPad 2.
Exactly the model
I was not.
No. One of us was able to procure.
Okay.
An iPad 2.
That's what I said.
One of us, sorry, my mistake.
Yeah. One of us.
One of us wanted to.
No, it wasn't that easy.
I had to hack the system to get an order in really early. I kind of had to hack a little bit, so. By discovering that the...
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm being the smartass.
Okay. By discovering that the Apple Store app on the iPhone would let me place an order many minutes before the website turned on. That's the way I hacked it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Yeah, Mark got up early in the morning.
No, I didn't go to bed. No, it was only 1 in the morning,
oh,
so
you
I just hadn't gone to bed yet.
Nice.
And okay. So I was getting ready to go on the website, and then just for the fun of it, I said, I wonder what would happen if I used the Apple Store app on the iPhone, and it let me place the order from there.
Either way, when our current fearless leader told me that you had iPad 2,
right.
I knew that we were just going to get endless shit about not getting one.
Yeah, and he started saying, started when he IM'd me, when Mark started sending me IMs before the show,
right.
He was saying, are you
you going to bring that old piece of crap?
No, it was not crap.
Shit.
You said shit.
Yes.
And it's very rare when Mark says shit.
Well, I call shit a shit. Yeah.
So. But then when I found out that... When I found out that you got an Android 2.
Oh, right. Yeah, we haven't talked about that yet.
But then I knew he was going to give you even more endless crap about that.
Yeah, I know. So greetings, everybody. Welcome to the show. You're listening to Slurpcast, a show where Bob, myself, and Mark get together once a week and talk about tech news.
Right. And we go to a new restaurant each time so we can give restaurant reviews as part of it, since the show is taking place.
Okay, smartass.
So where are we? What restaurant are we in today, Wes?
Well, Mark, we're in the same restaurant today that we were in last week.
Why is that?
It's my fault.
Okay. Yeah.
Are you satisfied now?
Yes.
Okay. Mea culpa.
Okay.
I'm the one who gives you the discount.
Right. That's true. We do get a discount for going here.
Yeah, we do. Did you actually tell them, by the way? Not yet.
I'll tell them.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So I wanted to thank you guys for the last show. We actually got it posted pretty quickly. I was raring to go. Got that thing live. Pretty happy about this show. We got some things to talk about, a couple new items that we both have purchased.
So our one listener out there should be glad that we have it ready so quickly.
Yeah.
Right.
I want to talk about something before we get going. It's really important. I meant to talk about it in the last show, but we never really got around to it. And that is the trouble and problems that are going on right now in Japan. Right. We talked a little bit. I wanted to talk about it, but there was a tsunami that occurred after an earthquake in Japan on March 11th. And it caused a lot of devastation. A lot of my friends have friends in Japan right now. I was even speaking to a developer via email who was...
Developers.
Yeah, so anyway, so just wanted to bring that up. My heart goes out to the people who are going through relocating and seeing
Rolling their homes
destroyed.
Shortages of food.
Right, not able to go to the store and buy food.
Public transit being down.
Yeah, all kinds of crazy.
I have a friend in Japan.
One thing that I was going to try to research but never did, didn't have time to get around to, is how we can contribute and help out in this time. Like some of the other recent world disasters, there are other like nonprofit organizations that are offering to take your money. So in some way you can help out, like United Way. There's a couple of other nonprofits that are actually... I think the Red Cross is helping out, but I don't know. What are your thoughts? You guys have been reading the news. You guys see what's going on, and this is the difference here.
I think the way that the Japanese officials handled the dissemination of information was despicable, because they didn't even tell people about the second floor of one of the reactors containing spent fuel.
Okay.
And eventually one of the fires got to that room and dispersed a bunch of radioactive stuff.
Yeah.
So just like BP and the oil spill, they're completely untrustworthy, and their delay in releasing information may have caused people to die.
Because they're such a connected country, we're hearing a lot about people using Twitter and filming home videos and sending them up on YouTube.
There's all kinds of them.
There's all kinds of stuff you can go and look at to see what's going on. People are saying, you know, the news isn't necessarily right. Here's my home. Here's my neighborhood. Here's what it looks like. We just wanted you to get a good view of what's happening from the street level, from people who are actually living in it right now. And I find those to be the most interesting, just from people's personal points of view about what's happening. But it's also disheartening, because very much like the U.S., Japan is a technologically advanced society, and what they're going through could, in a way, I mean, I don't know geographically, but it could happen to us, and it's kind of important to be able to put yourself in their shoes, since they're not so different than we are as a society, and say, you know, holy crap, what would we do if this were us? And hopefully people listening to this can help out in some way, whether it means, you know, contacting people, offering support emotionally, or donating money to one of the nonprofit organizations.
What? But in a way, since...
Mark's phone is talking to him.
No, my phone is saying you're talking to me.
Yeah. Tell your phone to shut up.
Yeah. But in a way, there are similarities with Katrina and New Orleans, because the real problem in Japan, other than the nuclear reactors, which is certainly a different problem, but other than that, it's really flooding that was the problem most places. Rather than directly the earthquake.
Yeah, they're totally used to having earthquakes, so that wasn't new.
For but not of this magnitude.
Well, not a 9.0, but they are not, you know, they were more prepared for that than the tsunami.
Right. Exactly, yeah.
So, from what I've seen.
Well, as a culture, as a nation state, they were actually more ready for the tsunami than most countries. Because they have had tsunamis before, so they had seawalls, but just not enough. And the other thing that was despicable about the reactor was they didn't have an independent source of electricity. So that when the tsunami hit and it knocked out the power source to the water pumps, they didn't have a backup.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
No, they had battery backup, but not for very long. Yeah, not for long enough to...
They should have had solar panels.
Yeah. Well, solar power in real time wouldn't be strong enough to do anything. And they didn't... All solar power would have done would be charging batteries.
Well, whatever.
They didn't have charged batteries.
Diesel generators, whatever.
Oh, they had all that. They just were flooded and destroyed by the tsunami.
Right.
They weren't in a good location.
I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah, they had all that. It just wasn't in a good location, so they got bad damage.
No, but, I mean, there's the lack of planning.
Right.
I mean, they had backup systems, but they needed more.
So on Engadget, or one of the blogs I pay attention to, a comment was made, hey, how come they don't have automated robots to help out in repairing and protecting some of the reactors? Because it's kind of standard practice to have robots available to do, or, you know, robots in the way of, like, remote-controlled maneuverability vehicles to pick up certain things and actually close doors and operate controls and things like that.
Right.
A lot of reactors, from what I'm told, more recently built, are built with that sort of thing in mind. But these particular reactors were built somewhere in the 70s, and because of that, it's difficult for them to actually, like, have these automated robots of any kind help out in the...
But you think robotic technology is actually to the point that it would be useful in a...
Well, not only that, but that's Japan.
I
mean, that's where robot technology, like, the best of the best originates from, you know?
But their standalone robots really aren't that good. In other words, they have all the robotic machinery in factories, but the little ones that walk around, they're not really that good yet. They don't really do anything useful.
Well,
I mean, they can demonstrate them, but I don't think they're really good for
them. I'm not talking the human-like robots. I'm talking more like the ones on wheels.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But even those are not being used right now, from my understanding.
Yeah.
So...
I wonder if that would really make sense, though, because you have a bunch of rubble. Hey, people can climb over rubble, can clear rubble out of the way. Little robots on wheels are just going to get stuck by any little damage from the earthquake.
Well, but you're dealing with radioactive material. You're dealing with radioactivity,
right?
Where the robots could be fine, and people could not.
Right. Although electronics is damaged by radioactivity also, if it's enough of it. No, but I'm just saying rolling robots on wheels, I don't think they're going to go very far in a disaster situation like that. Because any mess, any litter would block them, you know.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's possible or not.
Okay.
I mean, iPhone-controlled robots, of course, would have worked.
Yeah. So with that, please do your best to look up nonprofit organizations. See what you can do to donate. And just reach out to your friends who might have relatives or family members in Japan.
Well, probably the most legitimate one would be the Red Cross, because they're certainly the first responders in most disasters.
Yeah. And I'm a big fan of the Red Cross. I donate blood often.
I think in this case, maybe just giving money to organizations that are already over there.
Right.
And not necessarily reaching out to your friends and clogging the phone lines that are already down.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm speaking more about supporting the people who are here who have family members
there. Yeah, But even calling over there to find out if your friends are okay does tie up the phone lines. I think email is better.
Yeah,
right.
Maybe. So... Okay, so now moving off of that topic, I guess let's talk a little bit more about some tech stuff. What's happened in the past week? I know Mark has procured his iPad 2.
Right.
I would like to say that I was right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They sold a billion zillion of them.
Yeah, I have to hand it to you. I was totally wrong. I don't know, totally, but
you weren't wrong.
I was incorrect. Yes,
I thought the lines would be around the block. And they were.
Yeah.
That's partly because Apple did the publicity stunt of having them go on sale at 5 p.m.
Yeah.
And not allowing pre-orders on the web. But, you know, normally on Apple product, you can order on the web a week before, and it will ship to you on the same day that the lines are forming at the stores. This time they didn't do that, so if you really wanted one the first day, you had to stand in line at the stores. So I said, to some extent, it's a publicity stunt, but it was certainly true, yeah.
But it's a super cool device.
Right.
I'm actually very glad that the world-famous Mark Burney has one.
Are you going to get one now?
No.
I thought you were waiting for it, and you weren't going to go. Okay.
I like them, but right now I can't afford one.
Okay.
So have you done or used any application, done anything with the iPad 2 that...
It seems
that actually really shows how much different it is than the iPad 1.
It seems faster, but I haven't actually tried them side by side, which I should. So
okay.
I still have the old piece of junk, and I really should try
what?
That. I haven't sold the old piece of junk yet on eBay, so I still have it.
Are you going to use Gazelle? Because a lot of people are using Gazelle. Gazelle is the electronic return.
No, I didn't really like the price that much. I think it could be better on eBay.
Okay.
Over here, guys.
Cool.
Yeah, I might do mine. I might sell mine on Gazelle.
Yeah.
I think Craigslist is not an unreasonable way to get rid of them as well.
Right.
I'd prefer to give it to somebody locally that I can actually meet and talk about it with, you know?
I think you should give them both to me.
Nice.
And I will stop talking to you for a full year. That's my gift to you.
Okay.
Hmm.
I do think the battery life is worse, I swear. Maybe I'm just playing with it a lot more, but sure. I swear... The battery just seems to be running down a lot faster.
Oh, really?
At different hours of the day than I'm used to. But I may be playing with it more, obviously.
So the longer I hold out, the better the hardware is going to be?
No? Not much.
No. Not for the iPad 2.
No. Okay.
Until the mythical iPad 3 comes out, I don't think it'll be any different.
I mean, that's Apple's history. That's what they did with the iPod and the iPhone.
Yeah. All right, so the one thing... So, about the iPad 2, we are still seeing major shortages in inventory. I want to speak a little bit about that.
Actually, Mark touched on that earlier. Mm-hmm. I think he was saying that the number of SKUs that Apple has to keep in stock in the stores...
Yeah.
18.
Right,
part
15.
Of the reason.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but it's also they're claiming that some of the manufacturers that supply parts... for the iPad 2 are located in places like Japan and are therefore causing, harming the inventory of these devices. They're also probably selling more than Apple originally planned, although kind of my theory is that it's like the De Beers Diamond method of distribution, which is the less you literally let out, the more popular it will become. But there's a balance there, so... I think kind of the shortages are, I guess, accepted by Apple. They're not. It's not necessarily like it doesn't piss them off.
Exactly.
They don't race to get more out. You know, it's like
And now, in terms of actual numbers, I heard they sold like 1.5 million over the weekend.
Somehow, I think they were planning on selling only 300,000.
Well, you guys have the wireless devices in front of you. Maybe you can look it up.
No, I don't have a wireless device of any kind. Yeah. I've got two electronic devices that could very well be hooked up, but they don't have Wi-Fi.
What about Mr. Smartass?
Mr. Smartass? You mean Mr. Mark Burney?
But unless, does that, I don't know, how could I search on the, how many iPad 2s were sold or something?
Yeah. So I'll read the article that I looked at. This is from Apple Insider. The March 11th tsunami has devastated Japan. It's expected to create shortages of Apple's most popular products for the remainder of the month and the next quarter, as at least two of the company's core component suppliers in the region have temporarily shut down operations to assess damages.
I think people underestimate the damage that this is going to do to the world economy. I heard an analysis that for every day that Toyota has to stop production of its cars, it loses $73 million.
I can imagine,
And then if you think about the suppliers for those cars, I mean, it affects everything. Japan isn't your typical country in South America that has mud huts that cause, 20,000 people to lose their lives in an earthquake of this size. if you compare the number of people that lost their lives, which is non-trivial,
right,
to a quake the same size that happens in Chile,
yeah,
for instance, the loss of life is about 1/10. But if you compare the damage done to the world economy, it's about 100 times.
Well, that's the market. The stock market is reflecting this by,
right,
you know, waving.
Because Japan's technical output, I mean, everything we have has Japanese components in it.
So there are optimistic, there are people who are saying that this can be viewed as a chance to rebuild and make themselves much stronger, and that there are very optimistic ways of looking at this this sort of disaster. I think anything like this allows people to step back, even with the loss of life, and say, you know, what have we learned from this? Even though it was a natural disaster, you know, how can we do better next time?
Right.
I don't know.
I bet in 10 or 20 years, everything will be rebuilt. You wouldn't even know that it happened.
Probably true. Yeah. And as I said, I think they're used to earthquakes, so they're probably able to bounce back in that sense. I think the tsunami was just more. I mean,
the one time I was in Japan, I saw a temple in Kyoto, as a town that has a bunch of 1,000-year-old temples.
Uh-huh.
And one of the temples we went to made a big fuss about how it was built on rollers. They originally, 1,000 years ago, built it on a row of logs, so it would roll in case the earthquake had survived.
Japan has the advantage of being a technological society for the last 400 years.
Right.
So they're going to do better than even we would. But here we are in San Francisco, where the Transamerica building itself is actually on big ball bearings.
Right.
So I think of all the places that will bounce back quickly from an earthquake / tsunami 1-2 punch, Japan is probably going to bounce back the most quickly. But
no, but I'm saying even the cities near the water that were totally wiped out, they'll still somehow rebound. People are just going to let that land sit.
Right. I mean, not just the society technologically, but, you know, culturally, they bounce back quicker than anyone thought they would after the atomic bombs were dropped upon them.
Right.
But thus the irony of them still embracing nuclear power. But that was a reaction to the oil embargo in the 70s.
Right.
Unfortunately, the design of the reactors was a GE design from the 1950s called the Mark I.
Right.
And it was sort of like the cheap first bid design.
Okay.
If anything, the designs of the reactors that are in other places around the world are actually a little bit better.
Now, were built after that, or even ones built at that time?
The ones built after that. I don't think the result of this is going to be as bad as Chernobyl, but the fact that they kept changing their story and kept changing the radius of the disaster, it was just like BP. It's like, lie, lie, lie. And it's like, didn't they learn anything? Or maybe they did. Maybe this is the pattern they're sticking with. Maybe this is like, you know, if you need to fart in the elevator, you know, you let little bits out of the time. I don't know.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, I figure,
okay,
I just surprise everybody.
That was a terrible analogy.
I'm just thinking, like, you know, if I'm going to let it out in small, you know, people are going to eventually figure it out. So why not just bomb the whole thing? Just let it out.
Right.
Why hold back?
Thank you for taking that car that I mistakenly took to the edge of the cliff.
Mistakenly?
And driving it off intentionally.
Yeah. I actually put some rocks right on the cliff so that as I hit the cliff edge, it would lift me a little bit up into the air so I could, like, at least, you know, kind of remain in one level as I fell off the cliff so I could see the ground and everything around me.
I think I'm just taking this opportunity to step away from the analogy, so to speak.
Oh.
By the way, so I was trying to find how many iPad 2s were sold. At least most of the articles are saying that Apple hasn't released numbers yet, although that may be old news. And people are estimating 500,000 to a million or something, but it's not really coming from Apple yet.
But it was a buttload.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a buttload.
But in terms of talking about tsunami and how it affects technology, since we are talking technology, from what I've been hearing, and I listen to KPFA, which is probably the least media-controlled outlet in the country, and they've been telling a much different story than the mainstream media, and the amount of devastation in Japan is horrendous. I mean, there are places where it's going to take months, if not a year, to get back to where they used to be in terms of supply chain and output and everything. So the world's going to be a different place for a long time.
Well, also, there's a lot of countries with a vested interest in making Japan run smoothly. And so you're probably going to see, and this is really rude and mean of me to say, but like, you're probably going to see the United States and, you know, Britain and some other countries come in and help them rebuild
China
much faster than you would like a Haiti situation,
right,
or something,
but
like that.
Because China especially is desperate right now, but not as desperate as they were 10 years ago because they have a lot of their own infrastructure, but
desperate to make their power shown by helping Japan, or desperate?
Well, just desperate because, I mean, technologically, Japan and China share so much of each other's markets.
True.
And desire for products and people buying one from the other. So, since China has so much freaking money, and they have a history of working together, I think that's where most of the assistance is going to come from. It makes sense. They're right there.
Okay. But apparently China still has a lot of resentment against Japan from World War II, though, and all the atrocities.
Well,
then.
And vice versa. So. I mean, I don't think Japan can avoid getting help from China.
And China's right there in the region, yeah.
And they've got all the rare earth chemical, I mean, natural resources.
Yeah.
Or at least a lot of them right there.
Right.
And as you know, Japan is a resource, almost vacant nation. They have a lot of, you know, intellectual power, but they don't have much else.
Yeah.
They have sumo wrestlers.
Yeah, but another thought is that, you know how Japan economically has been in the doldrums for years?
Yes.
Somehow a big shakeup like a war or a big shakeup like this kind of gets people back to work.
Oh, it does.
They may have years
no
of
doubt,
very great
no doubt.
Productivity.
The same way that countries like New Zealand and Australia were able to jump so far ahead of other countries when they were starting to put their IT structure together and go wireless. A lot of other places had to go wired.
Yeah.
I do think that'll be an opportunity in Japan, but until you can get the infrastructure built up again.
Yeah, but everyone getting back to work, anyone who's unemployed will be working again now, just building buildings, doing all the basic stuff again. So that kind of stuff has very good effect on the economy for a while. And, you
true
know, like the United States came out of a depression because of World
true
War II,
enough.
Right? So
I'm not doubting that. But I do think that the Japanese people are very, very resilient.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's move on to some stories. Mark Brunet.
Yeah, my stories are all out of order because there's a bug in Evernote for the iPad.
Yeah.
That if I try to sort the stories by title, which is the way I have them arranged by categories, then it loses about half of them don't show up. So I have to sort them wrong and kind of just flip through here. But there was a good article about, are we too reliant on GPS? There's the Japan thing. GPS is all based on satellites and independent ground stations. But still, it's very, very fragile. And we have more and more people and machinery and all kinds of stuff depending totally on GPS and kind of forgetting other methods of navigation, forgetting other methods of timekeeping and stuff. And like, GPS really just based on these 24...
That was actually
paper
one of
paper maps, you mean? The kind you get at, like, the that? Gas station?
Do they still have those?
I think so.
They still have them as the little welcome mats at McDonald's and Denny's.
That's true, yeah.
When
that's
you're flipping funny. Over, there's a junior jumble and a crayon thing you can color.
Yeah.
I just heard about that. That's not from direct experience.
Right.
So you're saying if anything happens to the GPS network, which is certainly possible,
like some kind of like you know enemy shooting down the satellites,
yeah, absolutely, and then
or a solar flare,
or even the base stations. There's not that many of them; they're very sensitive to any kind of interference.
Right.
Yeah,
or a solar flare.
Yeah, it could.
I've always wanted to have a backup system,
right,
to fill in the gaps if something did happen to the GPS network.
Right.
I don't know if there is one.
Well, there's the old-fashioned. GPS isn't that old, and people used to navigate just fine.
I've got a theory.
So.
I've got a theory that at one time GPS was a military-only thing that was hidden from the general public, and then they made it a consumer. They made it a consumer thing that people could then, like, you know, piggyback on the satellites. And at first, when they made it consumer-based, it was dumbed down so it wouldn't tell exactly where you were.
Right.
And then they eventually turned up the resolution and allowed consumer devices to be pretty accurate.
Yeah, they can turn that back on again in case of a war or something.
Right.
They can make it inaccurate again.
So my theory is that because it's now consumer level, the military probably has something completely different that's not consumer level and not available to the public.
No, but I say, but they had navigation long before GPS. Celestial navigation and other radio beacons and all kinds of other radio things.
Yeah, that's true.
So they can, people just kind of forgotten how to do all that, I guess, but they can go back to that. You know, commercial airliners certainly carry all the equipment to do it the old way.
Or we could just start talking to the aliens.
Yeah, that's true. And then Europe was starting to put together a competing system of satellites, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I think they're still continuing on with that. I forget the name of it right now, yeah. But yeah, if the aliens would fix ships in certain places and teach us how to get beams off them, yeah, we could do that. Or we could learn the bird technology, you know, how do birds do it and stuff. See, people talk about birds navigating by magnetic stuff that they don't really understand how it works. But that only does latitude. I don't really see much about how birds do longitude.
I was going to mention, last week I had a story, but I didn't bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
There's some place in on the net you can buy these little GPS jammers.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
For $30.
Yeah, it doesn't take much. The signal is so utterly weak. It really doesn't take much to jam it. Yeah, that's true. Is there a legitimate use for that? I mean, cell phone jammers, there are legitimate uses that people just don't want people talking in a restaurant or something. It's illegal, but at least you can imagine why people might want one. But do GPS jammers have any legitimate function?
It was just saying that, you know, this is a terrible thing to have out there.
Yeah.
Because it does so much damage.
Right.
Potentially.
Yeah, actually, I remember seeing that truckers kind of like it because they have logging stuff that their company logs everything they do by GPS. So if they carry a little jammer and kind of break that, then they're more free to make stopovers like they used to be able to. And
or drive faster.
Yeah. Stuff like that. Yeah.
Well, you know how, Mark, you were talking about selling your iPad 1 on eBay?
Right.
There's a couple of... It's sometimes fun to go through eBay and find and look at the weird things that are on sale.
Right.
And so I found this article while you guys were talking that I think is is pretty cool. It's basically a 40-year-old box of cereal on sale from on eBay.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah, that has a record, like a Michael Jackson plastic thin sheet record on the front or something.
Super Sugar Crisp cereal.
Yes.
The article talks about how it's gone through different names over the years, but basically it's petrified box of cereal from 1972 going for over $150.
But it's actually filled with the cereal, though?
Huh?
Because the Cap'n Crunch cereal boxes that they sell typically are empty. They don't usually sell it with the cereal.
This is the real deal.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So.
Huh. Okay.
I kind of thought that was unrelated, but I threw it in there because it's an eBay article.
But it's a Michael Jackson record, right? Isn't it, or something?
Let's see. Yeah, this eBay auction offers an intact cereal box with a record featuring the stylings of the Jackson 5.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's right. You're bidding on a box of petrified cereal from 1972. The Jackson 5.
Yeah, eBay once had an entire Cap'n Crunch box with the ad for the whistle on the outside. They were selling once, but it was cut open, though. It wasn't didn't have the cereal in it.
And why is that important, Mark Brunet?
Because Cap'n Crunch whistles, which I am the world's biggest collector of.
Yes.
Although basement people don't let me buy them anymore. They think I have too many.
No, you don't have enough. You have to tell them that.
I have less than 100.
Did you tell them of your naked desire?
Yeah, I want to take a bath. I want to take a bath in a bathtub filled with Cap'n Crunch whistles. Yeah.
Naked. Well, wearing shorts, but you can't see.
Right. Moving on. Speaking of going back in time.
Wow.
There's a theory.
I want
that
more soda.
Been around for a little while.
Okay.
That's the Hadron Super Collider that was basically brought back online after being. Non-working for about a year and a half.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe the world's first functioning time machine.
Okay.
There's a theory that says once they find and start generating these Higgs boson particles, that part of the reaction will be a particle called a singlet, a Boggs or Higgs, I guess, a Higgs singlet.
Okay.
That because of the nature of the particle, only has to, obey very limited laws of physics. Okay. And it may be able to jump through time through shortcuts in other dimensions based on a not really widely accepted theory of the universe that has 11 dimensions in it. The theory says that most of the dimensions in the universe, the first through fourth, are contained in something called the bulk. 5 through 11 of these other dimensions are less correlated with the laws of physics. So if you're David Banner and you're the Incredible Bulk, maybe these singlets could fly off of you when you're really angry. And these singlets could take a shortcut through the other dimensions to either the past or the future.
Okay.
And the Hadron Super Collider may be the first device humans have made that can actually create these interactions. And the scientists might see these little singlet particles coming through the machine before they actually get to the point where they can have these interactions.
Why isn't that happening already, though?
That's the argument.
Yeah.
Because it's the branching theory. As I said before on a previous show, my gosh, when we figure out how to go back in time, we're going to be creating a new branch in time. Meaning, right now, the reason why we don't see people from the future visiting us right now is because we're on a different path.
No, it's because we're lonely and we have no friends.
Well, that's separate, though. That's a different thing.
Okay. Maybe they're visiting the Martians. They like the Martians better.
No, they're starting another branch of time using... Maybe they like the...
Okay, I'm lonely and I have no friends. Okay.
Yeah. Nice.
And maybe I have no future after the last comment.
Yeah. But say again, for all this stuff is talked about very nicely in a science fiction book called Thrice Upon a Time that talks about the time travel aspects of these... particles and all that
stuff. Was that written on an iPad 2?
No, it's old. It's like 20 years old at least.
Okay.
But it's now supported by the iPad 2.
Yeah. Oops, there's one right there. One more just went through.
If you start seeing it as an ebook, then you know it's working.
Remember when they, when the Hadron Collider was shut off for the year and a half, they were saying, and they had to rebuild all the magnets and stuff?
And the theory was that maybe something from the future did come back and break it?
Yeah, no, it's not that. But I remember them saying that when they put the magnets back online, they weren't as strong as they had been before, and they couldn't figure out why. Has that mystery ever been solved?
No, but that was what I was getting at.
Yeah, but
there were some people that were saying that the people from the future somehow caused a time loop paradox, and they sent something back to
weaken it so it never gets destroyed. Yeah, but you think if they were sitting there rewinding the magnets, they got all these magnets in front of them, how could they get weaker and them not understand how? That just seems like such basic engineering, you know?
Yeah.
There's something weird about that story. Yeah. Sounds like a government cover-up to me.
I don't think the government's that smart.
Yeah. So anyway, another story, nothing to do with the internet.
Yeah.
But scientists or biologists are now storing hidden cameras out in jungles.
Oh, yeah.
That are recording. I just periodically go off and take a picture of what's around them, or they have motion detectors or something.
Right.
And they take pictures of animals wandering around in the very deep jungles where people never go.
And libertarians.
Yeah. I mean, obviously people had to go there to install the cameras where people don't normally go.
Right. And libertarians had to go there because they were kicked out of all the parties that they got invited to.
Right.
Because they wouldn't drop the fact that Ayn Rand, if you follow her,
her movie is coming out shortly, by the way.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I like to make fun of Ayn Rand.
Yeah. Okay.
Randomly.
Yeah. Anyway, but the Smithsonian has a website with 201,000 of these pictures that the public can go look at.
Really?
Just these random pictures. Of all these pictures that are just randomly being caught out in the middle of nowhere.
Well, I think that's really cool because they're getting a lot of actual animal behavior.
Right.
As opposed to, like, walking down Market Street and having people, you know, have poses just to be ironic.
Yeah,
right.
Okay. But maybe the animals figured out where the cameras are and they go off camera and plot about how they're going to act.
I think that's actually probably truly happening.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, let's confuse the hell out of these researchers.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, don't eat any deer in front of them. People think that the deer are very cute and they'll hate us if we eat deer. So only eat ugly animals for a while when you're near the cameras and stuff.
Like, they're only letting the really cute animals in front of the camera because they're the ones that will get them on the endangered species list.
Right, right. That's true.
Speaking of things that may have been hidden from view, a while ago there was sort of a brouhaha raging in astrophysics about dark energy.
Okay.
Some people saying that it had to exist because our universe was expanding faster than it was supposed to.
Right.
And then someone came up with the explanation that, well, it might just be our area of the universe that is expanding faster because there's less matter in our particular neighborhood than the rest of the universe. So we're sort of in the low end armpit of the universe.
Right.
But now it looks like there may be some actual dark energy is what I meant to say. There may be another. God, what is that sound?
There are people
hearts being running around.
People in the kitchen are just playing games.
I
and
think they're,
being
they're
sloppy.
Spinning plates.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that was like a pie platter.
There's a new theory that says the original theory that dark energy may be causing the faster expansion might be right. And that's all I have about that story.
I think it's a little bit too early to know. We don't really understand things well enough to really be making theories yet, I think.
I certainly don't understand the article enough to expound upon it anymore.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to mention it because it was interesting.
Cool.
And speaking of dark and less energy.
Right.
There's another story about a star that was found pretty close to our sun, only 10 light years away.
Okay.
But it's a super cool brown dwarf that doesn't happen to be turned. It's not a hobbit from a New Zealand movie.
Right. Okay.
But basically, the temperature of this brown dwarf, even though it's considered a star, is only 266 degrees Celsius to about 450 degrees Celsius, which, for a star, is pretty cool.
Yeah. So that's why it took so long to detect it, because it's just not that...
Well, they didn't detect it for a long time because it's so dim.
Right.
And so cool.
It doesn't have much radio.
So it's like a star wearing dark sunglasses.
Interesting.
All right, so now we got 10 minutes left.
Can I do my craps now?
Yes, Mark, you may do your craps now.
Wes, please explain, how many years have you been listening to me talking about craps or critical Apple applications?
Well, I don't know.
That don't exist on Android, don't exist on BlackBerry.
Okay, so before
Before
we go with the craps,
Windows Mobile 7.
I have to bring it out. Uh-huh. I have to talk about my
right.
My
that's
latest,
why
my
I'm saying,
purchase.
That's why I'm yelling.
Is that what you did?
Yes.
So I switched away from MetroPCS today. I went over to Verizon.
Right.
Partly because I'm probably going to be looking at getting one of the iPad 2s.
No, because Verizon has the iPhone now, right?
No. But they may support. I may decide to go with an iPad 2.
Yeah.
And have Verizon on the iPad 2. That may I may get something similar to the one
but
that you have.
But you can tether off your Android.
Yeah.
Oops, I just gave it away.
So anyway, so I decided that I wanted to diversify instead of staying with just the iOS device, which I already have. I've got the iPad 1 and the iTouch.
Right.
That I would go over and take a look at what all the hubbub is going on about with Android, and I went with the newly released as of today Thunderbolt HTC Android 2.2.
What's the difference between it and other?
It's got 8 gigs of RAM.
Okay.
It's got an 8 megabyte camera on the front. On the back. It's got it's the Froyo operating system. I forget the actual CPU.
Realized the other day that Android names are in alphabetical order. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, just think about it. Froyo, and then and then what's
Honeycomb?
The G? What's the G? Honeycomb, there's a G out there, too.
That's true.
Are you sure? I thought the G was the latest. Are you sure Froyo is the latest?
No, Froyo is the 2.2 mobile version.
Yeah.
No, Honeycomb is the
right, but isn't there one starting with a G,
gingerbread?
Though?
Gingerbread?
Yeah, isn't there a gingerbread?
Yeah, that was older, I think.
No, they go in alphabetical order, I swear, yeah.
So anyway, I got this thing, and went in and got all hooked up.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, for some people getting access or getting the Thunderbolt device, not everybody's having this problem. If you're doing number portability and you're bringing your number over from a previous carrier, depending on the carrier and this random act of God, it will take you 3 days to actually activate your new Thunderbolt telephone or cell phone. So, I won't have a phone until Saturday.
Your MetroPCS turned the phone number off already?
Yeah, so they already disconnected the phone, but the number won't come over to my new line until supposedly Saturday.
Okay.
So, not real happy about that.
Yeah.
They gave me a loaner, but...
So, if we mug you right now, you can't dial 911 to save yourself?
No, I can't.
That's interesting.
Actually, I don't think
you might be able to dial 911.
I don't think I can. I haven't tried, but...
No, that's supposed to work even for inactivated phones, so...
Yeah. So, anyway...
So, never mind. I just had this idea, but never mind.
Oh, okay. So, there you go. So, I'm gonna start playing with this. I haven't used it yet, but I'm pretty excited about the Android OS.
Why didn't you get the Motorola Atrix?
Why didn't I get a Galaxy Tab?
Because that's a tablet, but... Yo, can I do my craps now?
Yeah. Okay, Mark.
Yeah.
So expect more reviews from, like, Android apps from me as I start playing around with it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And since Bob has an Android, he'll be able to benefit from that as well.
Except that I don't know anything about it, so...
That's fine.
Can your Android run the RGB color clock? It's a very simple clock. It shows a digital time with a colored background.
Yeah.
But the background changes every second along with a hexadecimal number of the time.
Uh-huh.
The background changes that hexadecimal color. Can your Android do that?
Eventually, yes.
Yeah, maybe.
We probably can. I could probably write a Python script that could do that exact same thing. Yeah.
Can it run iBroFist where you can do a fist bump, a virtual fist bump, in case no one's around to do a fist bump with?
That's cute. I like that.
Yeah.
That is pretty funny.
Only the lonely.
And weren't you the one who misunderstood that I talked to? I sent you an email about an alarm clock that you have to turn off by yelling at it.
Oh, yeah, I did.
And you misunderstood
that.
And thought that it was going to yell at you?
Yes.
Well, there is another one now called Shouting Wake Up Full.
Uh-huh.
It has funny English, but also apparently it does yell at you to wake you up.
That's good.
No, I think this I think this is the one that you yell at to shut it off. I'm not sure what this is.
That was cute, the one that you yell at to shut it off.
Yeah, I think that might be this one. Have you ever been told that you are annoying? Do you ever feel like annoying someone? If so, this app is for you. Uzai, U-Z-A-I, is Japanese for the word annoying.
Uh-huh.
And this app is just that. Simply press the button, and you will begin to annoy those around you. Can
Wonderful.
Your Android do that?
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Let's have that go off at 2 o'clock in the morning while you're sleeping.
Yeah. Okay.
But these aren't apps that you've actually downloaded and played with.
Yeah, every once in a while I'll try one. But okay. Yeah. They're just too amazing. I would just get too nervous to have an amazing fun.
Your craps are crappy. I want to hear the ones that... I want to hear the apps that you find that are useful. Those are really good.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you have any of the...
Yeah. I do, yeah.
Which ones are you using?
Yeah, let me get
And then, so my other question is, at what time do you think that they're going to have apps that actually utilize the iPad 2 hardware? There are some games that supposedly do.
That use the new gyroscopes and stuff?
Well, no, they're not the gyroscope, because that's already in the iPad, or in the iPod Touch, as well as the iPhone 4.
Right.
But there are some games that supposedly use the better processor
or the better
graphics.
I'm not sure if they're coming out yet. But there's an app I like called Instacorder, Instacorder, where you start the app and just press a button and hold it down and start speaking.
Yeah.
And then when you let it go, it sends you an email of that WAV file it created.
Oh, that's
cool. Just kind of take quick notes for yourself or something.
Huh. All right.
I kind of like that one.
That's cool.
See, I put them in the categories, so I don't even know. I have iMovie and I have GarageBand.
Yeah. Baba Rob is taken off.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, see.
Thank you, sir.
What other apps do I have that I like?
Useful ones.
Useful ones.
Yeah.
Well, KitchenPad is a timer for your kitchen, but it makes a picture of a kitchen.
Okay.
And. You start it so you can run a bunch of timers simultaneously oriented around the burner. So you click on each burner and say how high it is and how many minutes you want to be alerted for that burner. And then you have for the oven and the broiler, you can do the same thing.
Okay.
So you have a whole bunch of timers going.
That's pretty cool.
That remind you which kitchen thing each one is.
Okay.
Did you ever try that Python interpreter?
Yes, I did. I didn't download it.
It looks kind of stupid, actually.
It actually had problems. They were saying that even if you give it good, valid Python code, that it actually doesn't interpret it.
It looks
correctly.
Like it doesn't do libraries, and it's very limited.
It doesn't do importing. You can't import libraries from other places.
Right.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, it's not really up to... It's from some of the comments that people have made on iTunes, it looks promising if the developer would continue to focus on it.
But the one I originally sent you by mistake is also called Python.
Yeah.
Apparently that's an emulator of an old video game.
Yeah.
You know the snakes game where you get longer and longer snakes?
Right.
Well, apparently there was once one called Python meant for... dumb ASCII terminals. So this thing comes up looking like a dumb ASCII terminal, and you play it that way.
Yeah, using zeros as the snake body.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool.
And then you run into numbers, and your snake gets longer as you hit the numbers and stuff.
Yeah. The more you eat, the longer it gets or something like that.
So that one's called Python, then the other one's called Python Interpreter.
Okay.
Yeah, what else do I have lately? Yeah, the useful ones I tend to just stick in the categories and then forget about.
Uh-huh.
Let's see.
All right.
Yeah, because
we're running out of time.
Okay.
So we were at California Pizza Kitchen. Nothing to say there.
Right.
Always get the name.
Again.
I know.
Yeah.
thank you guys for listening to the show. Thank you, Mark, for being a part of the show. Thanks, Bob or Rob, who's not here right now, but as always, he's always raring to go and ready to be a part of the show. So, again, our site is www.slurpcast.com. If you could go there and take a look at our show notes, on the right-hand side, there's a link that says subscribe to iTunes or subscribe to the show in iTunes. Right. And just clicking that, if you have iTunes installed, will automatically add the show to your list
of podcasts. Then you can listen to it on your iPod or your iPad or whatever.
There's so many iOS devices you can automatically listen to that you might sync with iTunes.
Right.
You got your iPad 2. You got your iPhone, your iPod.
Right. Well, and 10 million versions of iPhone.
And your Motorola rocker.
Even old iPods that's true. Even old iPods could sync for podcasts, right?
Yeah, fifth generation iPod.
Yeah.
Absolutely, 80 gig.
Yeah.
You get all of our shows on one iPod.
Yeah. No, all of our shows on one iPod?
Yeah, you wouldn't really want to.
That's so hard.
Yeah. All right, thanks, guys.
Okay,
bye-bye.